What do you want to talk about? Welcome to Life Matters with host Kim Alberts. This is the place to be for discussion, expression, and life matters. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy some straight talk and fun. Here's Kim Alberts.
Welcome, everybody, on this blistering hot Monday. I'm Kim Alberts, and this is Life Matters. Our guest today on this first show is Ann Simmons-Nicholson. She's the CEO of Rapport Leadership International. And, Ann, it's great to talk with you.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you for having me.
To start things off, Ann, why don't you tell us a little bit about what Rapport Leadership International really is?
Rapport Leadership International is a training and full-service human resource company that allows people to companies, individuals, and communities to find their own next level of leadership, their own next level of expertise in a variety of areas. We have so many wonderful clients that continue to come back to us for new opportunities to improve their organization or themselves, that we continue to grow into all of the development areas that people might be interested in.
And how long have you been with Rapport?
I actually am a graduate of the program from 1996, but I was only 5 when I went to the training.
Okay, that's good to know.
Not quite 5. I'm a graduate. I passed myself to be a trainer for the intensive training and then went on to the Salt Lake Olympics. I was the director of volunteer operations for the 2002 Olympic and Paralympic Winter Games in Salt Lake. So for a period of time, I was not as involved. Came back from the games, started my own company, my own human resources and training company, and 2 years ago in May, my company, my previous company, and Rapport merged. So I am now the CEO and co-owner of Rapport Leadership International.
So there are different types of trainings that Rapport does?
Yes, we do the intensive personal development training, which is individualized. It's very personalized. Our ratio of students to trainer is very small, 22 to 1. And in that intensive personal leadership development, each person gets exactly what their own next level of leadership is. We find that when people go through our intensive training, there are huge breakthroughs that happen in that training. And it's designed specifically to get people out of their comfort zones, to get them looking at things from a different perspective, and also to get them to consider what's possible versus what I can't do or what I haven't been able to do. The shift in every graduate that I've ever spoken to is they see what is now possible. The next part of what we would provide is oftentimes after those breakthroughs, people go back into their world, and not everyone has been through this training, so it can be difficult to sustain some of those breakthroughs, some of those commitments, some of those changes. So we also provide on-site leadership training where we can go into organizations. We work with numerous nonprofits, government entities, and certainly private companies to help build that culture shift within their organization. We also do full-service human resource consulting, strategic planning, executive coaching, and we also do massive, big projects, large hiring projects. So we have every possible solution that someone might need from a people standpoint.
When you talk about a culture shift, has the culture shifted in the business world where it is now easier for a woman to enter into a CEO role than it was maybe 5 or 10 years ago?
I would say that the culture, the environment that we're in, the current economic situation, people are looking at exactly what I said, possibilities. And whether it's male or female, they're looking at if I can't do what I was doing before the economy got to where it is now, what is it that I would really be passionate about? And so I believe that women are seeing the opportunity to start up companies, to find something that is really in their heart, which if I do what I'm passionate about every day, I never go to work. And so I think that, and I believe that men are also having that same experience because they're forced out of what we call their comfort zone. And when you're forced out of your comfort zone into, there are four levels. You can be in your comfort zone where we like to stay and like to be. You can be in the discomfort zone where all learning happens. You can be in the adventure zone where stuff is coming at you so quickly. Daniel Block's book says that every 12 to 14 months information is changing. Information is doubling every 12 to 14 months. So we get to stay on top of that. Now, the fourth zone is the panic zone, and the panic zone requires us to look at things from a different perspective. Benjamin Franklin said that success breeds complacency and adversity breeds brilliance. And when you're in an adverse situation, regardless of gender, you start to look for brilliant opportunities to do what you want to do. So for women or for men, it's if I can see what's possible, I can decide that I'm going to make a change in my life. And I believe that unless people are pushed out of their comfort zone, they'll just continue to do what they've always done.
That's very true. I think people do stay where they're comfortable, I think a lot of times because of fear. But how can somebody develop the skills that they may need so that they can take on a leadership role?
That's a great question. One of the challenges that we find is that people believe they're stuck. They have to continue with what they've always done. They can only look at jobs or opportunities or startups from things that they have experience in. And we definitely at Rapport Leadership International challenge that. Being able to move to a place where what's the risk? How bad could that be? Lifelong learners tend to live in the adventure zone where they look for opportunities to offer more of themselves, and yet they gain a whole much greater benefit for themselves and their families. The development of those skills can be in a variety of ways. Certainly, our training is, if you want immediate result, 2.5 days of intensive. We do this training very specifically away from your regular environment. 2.5 days of intensive training will lead to those breakthroughs. There are also things like books on tape, reading some of the future writing about what are the opportunities for 5 or 10 years from now. It's really a commitment to yourself and to your future to say, I'm going to learn. No matter what's happening or where I do that learning, I'm going to learn. And so the development of the skills, passion and enthusiasm for what I do, teamwork and support, accountability, focus, taking action, creating a mission and core values for myself. And one of the ones that we find to be most important is self-awareness and building my confidence in simply saying, okay, I'm going to do this. And I just went through our core competencies from our intensive training. But you can get those kind of development from a variety of sources. I was watching a movie the other day, and I heard a quote, and it said that all it takes is 20 seconds of insane courage to open new doors, to find new opportunities. And I will submit to you that that is a very true statement. And it may take 20 seconds a couple of times, but it really is a matter of focusing and deciding that I'm going to do something different than the other model that we often say is when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And certainly our intensive training is one of those things that will give people the opportunity to investigate, explore their own opportunities and possibilities.
What do you think some of the biggest mistakes that some of our corporations are making these days in terms of leadership?
We are finding a very consistent series of mistakes. As people are keeping their heads down and saying, how are we just going to get through the which, by the way, is a very real issue for a lot of companies. How are we going to make the next payroll? How are we going to find the next client? We know that the greatest fortunes are made during difficult financial times. So when CEOs, leaders, people who are in a decision-making role decide to put their head up and look at what the possibilities are, they recognize the only way to take advantage of any of these possibilities is through people and identifying what the skill set is, what skill sets are lacking in their current team, specifically from a leadership perspective, to be able to take the organization to its own next level. And although we understand, I understand, certainly it's been true in our business too, that we want to be very sure of the return on investment of our dollars in training and development, a lot of companies have stopped doing it altogether. They believe that they're going to be able to continue to add additional responsibilities and additional duties to their employees. And I read a startling statistic. Most people have probably seen this because it was all over the news. 67% of adults surveyed said that when the economy improves, they're going to leave. They are going to look for a new job. And I'm going to submit, this is my own opinion, but I'm going to submit that that 67% are not necessarily your poorest performers, the people who know they have skills and talent. And so investing in your team now is going to allow you to take advantage of the opportunities that exist. I would also say that there is a, you mentioned fear, and that is so prevalent in a lot of the customers that we talk to. We go in and do assessments in organizations to identify where their opportunities are. And in that, in those assessments, the leadership absolutely sets the tone for the rest of the organization. They're watched constantly. Even subtle, very subtle things that they do are observed and processed based on my own filters and my own information. So it can become almost a vacuum. In the absence of factual information, people create their own based on what their frame of reference is. So not communicating to your team what's happening in the organization, even if it's a challenging situation. They know something's going on. What are you communicating to them, and how are you talking to them about solutions and what they're going to contribute to help us get beyond the current situation? So we do know that. Yeah.
And we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a lot more about keeping your employees engaged in your company. It's a huge issue. So we'll be taking a short break, and when we come back, we'll continue with this, and during our third session, we'll be taking some calls.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Racism, healing, oneness of humankind. It is time to join millions of people all over the world who openly talk about racial healing. Some of us are not sure how to tread when discussing race and culture. Until now. Tune in to A Safe Place to Talk About Race with host Sharon E. Davis. Engage with experts and notables. Have a question but are not sure how to ask it? Test it out with our show. It's a safe harbor to explore views and situations that we face every day. A Safe Place to Talk About Race airs live every Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Want the best life has to offer for you, your family, and friends? There are a number of community-based programs and resources available to individuals for low cost or no cost. No need surfing the net or spending hours on the phone. Now there's a radio program devoted to bringing you the information you need. Tune in to Outreach Today with hosts Melissa Jenkins-Simon and Diane Stafford and get the tools to success. Our program promotes the benefits and services of CI Incorporated, providing health and social services over a wide spectrum of resources and agencies. We want to help you. Tune in to Outreach Today, Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Life Matters with your host, Kim Alberts. It's time for some participation from you. Call into the show at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Now, back to Life Matters.
Hi, welcome back. We're going to continue talking with Ann Simmons-Nicholson. And one of the biggest expenses a company ever undertakes is the initial training and setup of an employee into a company. But you were just talking about the rapid turnover when an employee feels that they're not being trained and that they're not being valued by a lack of training and consistent updating of information within a company.
Absolutely. The largest, there's a risk financially, excuse me, but there's also a risk in the knowledge that they take with them, the legacy knowledge, the relationships that they have with customers, the ability to, for continuity and consistency. There's also the time, energy, effort for the person that's doing the interviews, for the ability to make a good selection. And there are very real dollars involved. If you have an entry-level person, someone that is less skilled and probably less experienced in your industry, it's a minimum cost of $3,000 to turn them over. If they're skilled, where you did some initial training on your methods, your systems, your products, it's approximately $10,000 per year of service. And the cost of turnover for a salaried individual is one times their annual salary. The Society for Human Resource Management, people far smarter than me, evaluate and assess all of these things so that people understand the importance of investing in their people to keep them. I will also tell you that there are organizations that even when they invest in their people, they will experience some turnover because of lack of opportunity to move them forward. So it's not all around training and development. However, when the company invests in me, in my knowledge, I then have a greater loyalty to the organization and I feel more challenged and quite frankly more valued within the organization. So it is almost incalculable when you have high turnover because you start to get into what we call the hamster wheel of replacement and then your attention goes away from other parts of the business and it begins to be a domino effect within the organization.
But there are many times I've also seen where someone is pulled up from the ranks and placed into a leadership role and given no training whatsoever other than what they may have seen from their tenure in the company. And that's almost always a recipe for failure.
It's funny. We have more clients for that exact reason in our on-site leadership training. If I'm a good salesperson, that doesn't necessarily mean I have the knowledge, skill, or ability to be a good sales manager. In fact, some of the qualities that make me a good salesperson mean that it might be best to pick someone else other than me to be a sales manager. And we find that in almost every industry that we work in, because I've been here the longest, because I see it's only the only way for me to earn more money, because I have a desire to stay with the company, and I believe that's my only next step. We've worked with several clients to develop multiple paths for additional earnings. For example, software engineers, designers, that instead of requiring them to become a manager, we put them on the guru track. And the guru track, or develop a guru track where they can, through additional knowledge, skill, or ability in that specialization, that they can earn more money. And one of the challenges in moving someone into a management position is that we expect people to understand the company culture. Yet as an employee, I may have had a very inconsistent message about the company culture, so I'm going to rely on what I've experienced, what I'm most comfortable with, maybe even things that have happened to me in previous companies. Sometimes they're successful in spite of that. Sometimes they're successful based on individual effort. And usually they're most successful when organizations prepare them for what's expected of me as a leader in this organization and interview for those skill sets versus moving the person that's been there the longest into a management role.
And there's a huge difference between someone being just the boss and being a supervisor and leader within that same organization. And a lot of people don't understand that difference either.
Couldn't agree with you more. I have numerous, we do a extensive executive coaching, and at the highest levels of an organization, there are individuals who have great intentions. If we assume good intention, and that is what everybody gets to assume, if I assume good intention, then it boils down to knowledge, skill, or ability. And if my intentions are good, but my outcomes are not what I want or what the organization wants, I get to change my approach. The problem is, as we said earlier, I'm very comfortable in my approach. So unless there is an opportunity to see a different perspective, I'm going to keep doing what I'm most comfortable with. And at all levels in management, it's human nature to want to do what I'm most comfortable with, right? Whether it gets the outcomes that my organization and I want or it doesn't. So we do a lot of work around emotional intelligence, who I am in moments of tension, being able to understand that my automatic responses may not be the best approach in moments of tension, and then how do I adjust that? How do I, my self-awareness in moments of tension, am I able to decide that right now, in a split second, that this is going to be the best approach in this situation? And if it doesn't turn out the way I want, am I able to adjust in the moment? There are so many opportunities for people to gain that knowledge. Oftentimes, it's just not offered to them.
And do you feel like business schools and other schools are preparing people for this kind of role, or are we just sort of throwing people out there?
I believe that business schools are doing a lot of what they've always done, and that's not to say that they're not adjusting with the times. My experience is that when people come out of business school, unless they have some practical experience, some real-life applicable experience to apply all of the theories and knowledge that they get in undergrad, master's programs, unless they have some ability to apply it, they haven't internalized it and haven't been able to see how to use all the knowledge that they come out of business schools with. For example, you asked the question about the difference between being a boss and being a real leader in an organization. The tactical, what we call the transactional type of information that I need to be the boss to report back, those are very well covered from my perspective in business schools. To be a transitional leader, being able to see that we're all interdependent, that we all have the same goal in mind, that communication is going to be very important within my own team as well as within the organization, that is, in my opinion, less focused on. And then certainly the transformational leader, the person that recognizes that we have to understand the impact. If I'm in one department and I make a decision, am I aware of the impact that that decision is going to have on everyone else in the organization? Because if not, I am making a decision. The common term is in a silo. I'm making a decision without understanding that this is going to have impact on people, and then real or imagined, there are going to be perceptions and conflict. So how do I manage that? How do I deal with that? I don't want to slam business schools. I know that with budget cuts and all kinds of other things that are happening, that they're doing the best they can. We would like to see them focusing more on emotional intelligence and managing relationships, because we are in a service and information economy. The days of plan, organize, direct, staff, and control in a manufacturing economy are pretty much gone in the U.S. and other parts of the world. So we would like to see more awareness, more education, more experiential work around how do I lead people versus transactionally manage the business.
Have we seen a big change in the types of organizations that are out there now because of the economy?
I would say that there's a shift in organizations that we're talking to anyway. There's a shift in what people are focusing on in relationship to their clients, in relationship to their own team members, in relationship to their competitors. Coopetition is a great book around what really is the value of cooperating with our competitors to help boost everyone's business. Being able to recognize that the way we've always done it, Fast Company magazine had a great article about I'm going to say it was November of last year, it could have been earlier, that said organizations that are unwilling or unable to change will not exist in 5 years. I submit to you that from a leadership development company, people who are unwilling or unable to change, to add to their already good skill set, will be frustrated in that they haven't kept up with what is going to be necessary 5 years from now to lead organizations. So it really is, it's a good question. If I'm unable to, people that think they can write a 5-year strategic plan today and not revisit it each and every quarter are setting themselves up for a big surprise if they genuinely don't see that they get to adjust that on a regular basis. Typical traditional strategic plans can and have been 5 or 10 years. We would submit to you that that is going to set you up for disappointment and or extreme failure if you truly don't evaluate that on a much more regular basis.
So things are changing rapidly.
Absolutely. Speed of light. And knowing that I can't stop that. All I can do is adjust how I address the change and how comfortable am I getting my organization with change. And it's funny, I would say to you that change management is not new. Everybody has had to deal with change management from the beginning of time because things have changed. We are just in a much more rapid pace, and it feels as though all the noise around us is, it's hard to sort out what is it that I should focus on versus all the noise that comes at me every day.
Absolutely. Having a clear vision and a clear plan and what are your priorities is going to be even more important than ever.
And then being willing to evaluate that plan and vision each and every day. It's almost like triage in an emergency room. You want to have specific, measurable, action-oriented, realistic, and time-bound goals. And we add that you also get to have smarter goals. The ER is, are the energy and effort worth what you thought they were going to be worth? Are you willing to adjust when you see that all the time and energy and dollars that we're investing in a particular task or goal may not be worth it anymore? And the R is, are you reviewing it often and ready to flex when the situation changes? If I'm not triaging my business, and that doesn't mean that we're in a heart attack mode, unless I'm able to triage and take a look at what is
We're going to be coming back in just a bit. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to be taking questions. So let's take a short break, and we'll be back right away.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a homeowner who's trying to save on energy bills and go green at the same time? Tune into Energy Saving in the Home, brought to you by 521 Compressor Saver and Home Energy Consultants, with hosts Gary Parr and Dennis Seltzer. They have saved homeowners just like you as much as 65% on energy bills through energy efficiency practices. You'll learn about conservation, products, and services to reduce energy consumption and save you money. Be sure to listen to Energy Saving in the Home, live every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Do the adventures of Indiana Jones leave you curious about this exotic and unusual profession? If so, don't miss Indiana Jones, Myth, Reality, and 21st Century Archaeology with Dr. Joseph Schuldenrein. You'll learn about forensics, ancient civilizations, and human origins. Listen to Dr. Schuldenrein and colleagues discuss their excavations and related archaeological topics, ranging from the unique to the sublime, and yes, even the mundane. Indiana Jones, Myth, Reality, and 21st Century Archaeology, live Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, on Voice America Variety.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com. You're listening to Life Matters with your host, Kim Alberts. It's time for some participation from you. Call into the show at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Now, back to Life Matters.
All right. This is your chance to call in and talk with myself or Ann about your leadership questions. So give us a call, and we'll talk with you and see what questions you have. And what kind of leadership issues do you think people have within? You know, everybody may think about this being just CEO focus, but you know, people are leaders in their everyday life too. So, you know, how can somebody look at their strengths and weaknesses as a leader?
We have leaders of all sorts: community leaders, family leaders, leaders of a team of one, which would be me, myself, and the opportunities that we see most people. First of all, it's very individual. We all have different backgrounds and experiences. One of the greatest challenges is the self-awareness of where I may be holding myself back. That if I always do what I always did, I'll always get what I always got, which is something that most business people have heard. And from a personal standpoint, it's how do I get myself out of what I've always done? Because the way the brain works is it wants me to keep doing what I've always done. So we talked about it earlier, do anything for your own personal learning and be willing to put yourself out of your comfort zone. Whether that is go and learn about something in your community that you have a passion for, whether that is to take any kind of intensive personal development training, whether it's with us or someone else, be able to become more self-aware of how I'm showing up in moments of tension, because that is how people evaluate me, and quite frankly, that's how people judge me. And we have a huge belief at Rapport, and we do our best to live this every day, that as soon as I judge someone, I can't help them. Or as soon as I judge myself, I can't help myself. So we do our best to suspend judgment, and it's hard because we have automatic responses for things that have been built up over our lifetimes. Having passion for what you do, defining accountability that in a way that is internal, not someone else holding me accountable. If I were to say that the addressing those things will help someone significantly. We also know that people, although they understand they have a purpose and they have a great sense of purpose, they often can't identify it or say it in a few phrases. So having a mission and values that I'm unwilling to compromise, focusing and taking action. I've always wanted to take a cooking course at a community college, but it takes time and I don't know if I, or I've always wanted to learn about a business planning, and those opportunities are available at your community colleges, certainly online, being able to continue that out of my comfort zone learning. And that is, it's a big step for most people to say, all right, I'm willing to be uncomfortable because the value, I'll find value in it.
And I think sometimes just challenging people to not be able to use the excuse, I don't have time, mm-hmm. is huge, because that's such a comfortable way out of a situation. And, you know, to challenge them and to get down a little deeper into their core and come up for a true reason for why they're unwilling to take that risk.
Absolutely. Sometimes, if I don't have time, that translates into I don't have enough motivation, and or I don't have enough of a desire. And overcoming the fear is a part of it. However, if I were to tell you that I want you to go out and take on the greatest challenge that you have in your mind, whether that is public speaking or that is having that courageous conversation with someone in my organization that I really need to have and have avoided for a long time, but I don't have time and it's going to take too long. The question is, if I were to offer you $1 million to do it, would you find the time? And the answer is always yes. So what's the value of it? And if I don't place enough value on it, I will always be able to say I don't have the time. So you're very right. I couldn't agree with you more in that I get to decide what I spend my time on, and there are very real pressures, family pressures, life pressures, financial pressures, medical pressures, all those things. And I still, if the motivation is there, I will find the time.
Absolutely. And we're the only ones who can evaluate what our motivations are and how comfortable we are within that little comfort zone. And how can you help somebody break out of that comfort zone?
It is, first of all, it's the 20 seconds of insane courage to say, I'm going to do something and I'm going to make that call to schedule myself into a class where we tell you, our goal is to make you as uncomfortable as possible so you have huge breakthroughs in learning. Having that 20 seconds of courage to say, I'm going to go register for that class. Having that 20 seconds of insane courage to say to the person that I've had challenges with, I want us to be able to work this out. When do you have some time for us to talk? To have that 20 seconds of insane courage where once the dreading of it is often far worse than the actual event. And so we say to people, take action. Focus. If you want it badly enough, if you find it is, you've gotten to the point where I get to do something, then do it. Do something. We have methods and techniques. For 29 years, we have been doing intensive training, and our methods and techniques are proven. We absolutely guarantee that you will find this to be the most, if not the most powerful, one of the most powerful things you've ever done for yourself in your life. And if you're not 100% satisfied, I personally write a check out of my personal account, not from the business. And I've had only one person in, I've nominated over 1,000 people to go to this training, and I've had only one person, and it was very recently, asked me for a refund. And I gladly wrote the check because it was not a good fit for that individual. So it's, of the hundreds of thousands of people, I'm going to say, that have gone through the training, most would say that it is of great value to them, their families, their businesses, themselves, their communities. So, and again, we're not the only ones that do this. We do it better than most, but we're not the only ones that do this. Give yourself the opportunity to be everything you can be, and we're one of the ways to do that.
When you think about great leaders, are there any people who automatically come to your mind?
One of my favorite quotes about leadership is from Winston Churchill. He said that the true measure of a leader is 10 years after they've gone. So right now, in today's world, if we're looking at what's happening in the world, if we flash back 10 years, the things in businesses, in organizations, in countries, that leadership is about the legacy and the foresight that you have, the vision that you have. When I think of current leaders that I think will have an impact in 10 years, I think of people that are focused on the education of our youth. Michelle Ray, and I apologize if I'm saying her name wrong, she used to be the chancellor of schools in Washington, D.C., and now she runs a nonprofit, which the mantra, everything that she ever talks about is it what's best for the student? And if it's what's best for the student, then we move forward with it. We know people who are setting up nonprofits to invest in our youth, to know that 10 years from now, 20 years from now, our youth are not necessarily being prepared for problem solving and leadership. And for goodness sake, they have so many influences in their lives that you and I didn't have. Exposure and access to information that in that age frame, that the brain development of that age frame, they just can't process it in a way that is mature enough. We work with Dave and Deanna Workland, the Workland Foundation in Canada, and they have made a huge commitment to bring this exact type of leadership training. In fact, they have worked with us to take teen leadership breakthrough into the Calgary school system. And if ever there was a commitment of an example of great leaders right now, I would tell you that the Workland Foundation, Dave and Deanna Workland, people that are investing in our youth, they are the ones who are going to be seen as great leaders for our future.
You know, I think of people who quietly go out mm-hmm. and make change. Someone like Mother Teresa and Eleanor Roosevelt, who did it and didn't need to announce the things that they did, but yet changed the world.
One person at a time.
So many of the people we have today who are proclaiming that they are leaders feel the need to consistently call a press conference to announce the things that they are doing, which to me is not a leader at all.
I would agree. I think there's a consistency in behavior of what I consider to be a true leader, which is the genuine humbleness mm-hmm. that what I do is not for me, it's for the people that I interact with. It doesn't mean that they didn't get great personal satisfaction. It means that they genuinely look at what I'm doing in my life to impact lives of others, the lives of others. And I'm not Pollyanna. I recognize that people need to make a living, be able to feed their families, all of the things that are part of life, and understanding that there are leaders in I can think of dozens of organizations that we work with who genuinely believe that investing in their teams to see people grow is the best investment that they can make. And I would agree with you, that humbleness, that sense of helping others accomplish are some of the best leaders in history as well as currently.
Absolutely. I guess I kind of look around and wonder, you know, do we have great leaders today, which is sometimes a little frightening that we don't seem to have some of the great leaders that I think, you know, we may have had previously.
I think that time is the best evaluator of that. And I will tell you that every time I go to a graduation of one of our classes, I see the leaders of tomorrow today. I see people who are recommitting to investing in themselves, in their teams, in their organizations, in their communities, in their families. This is refreshing for me, and it also keeps me humble that people are willing to risk their comfort, and I don't mean physical comfort, I mean emotional comfort. They're willing to risk their emotional comfort to be able to go back and into their world, whatever part of their life they focus on, and improve themselves or their environment.
All right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a little bit, and we'll see if we have any callers to go ahead and talk with them. So we'll be right back.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
We all want to be happy, but consider that conventional thinking is what got us where we are now. The good news is there's so much more to know that can give us a new and higher perspective. Tune in to A New View of Life with host Kathy Kirk as we unlock the conversational gridlock in America by exploring new ideas and new information on every aspect of life which is needed to move us not just forward, but upward. A New View of Life airs live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Variety Channel.
In the spirit of Have Couch, Will Travel, Dr. Carol Lieberman creates a haven of sanity in an increasingly insane world. Each day we are bombarded with news of events that have never crossed our wildest nightmares. Society is spiraling out of control and everyone is reeling from it. But now there's an answer. The best way to keep sane in this insane world is to tune in to Dr. Carol's Couch on Voice America. Dr. Carol, a certified media psychiatrist, will broadcast live from her Beverly Hills office every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific time. Call or log in and get help with whatever is sending you reeling. whenever you need a soothing voice to calm and advise you. That's Dr. Carol's Couch every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time here on America's Voice, voiceamerica.com.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Life Matters with your host, Kim Alberts. It's time for some participation from you. Call into the show at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Now, back to Life Matters.
Okay, welcome back. We're talking with Ann Simmons-Nicholson. Ann, so many of us look at our kids as they're growing and hope that they are becoming leaders and not followers. How can we help them to move in that direction?
There are so many wonderful things available for parents and for students right now to be able to engage in the conversation of right and wrong. And I use those words very carefully because it is a judgment, a moral consequence or a moral decision. Helping kids want to know what is right and wrong, and they may push back, they may disagree, they may ask more questions. When parents have those very real conversations about all of the things that children are exposed to now, that helps build leaders. It helps build their confidence. So many things in our society do not help our youth build confidence, whether it be the image of what our body should look like or the acceptability of certain behaviors that kids start to challenge each other with. We absolutely believe that when kids are given the opportunity, they will step up as long as they have the skill set. We run Teen Leadership Breakthrough and College Leadership Breakthrough, and it's amazing to me how we can get that age group further, faster, and so much further, faster, because their walls, they haven't had time to build up the walls. We ask at our adult graduations, wouldn't it have been wonderful if you had had this knowledge, this information when you were a teen? And inevitably they say yes. We do so believe in it that we run our teen program at cost. We do not run this at a profit. We know that as teens are given the opportunity to speak up, to stand up, to be able to say with confidence, no, I'm not going to get in that car with you because I know what you've just done, or yes, I'm going to stand between you and this person that you're bullying because it's not okay with me. We know that, again, that tiny pebble in the pond that sends out the ripple, it gives other kids who maybe haven't been through some sort of leadership training, it gives them the ability to say, if Ann can say that or if this person can say that, I can say it too. The youth of today are so powerful, they're so empowered to have access to information. Being able to help them process that information is crucial. There are so many groups and organizations that if parents simply ask the question at your kids' schools, at within your community, there are so many opportunities for parents and kids to together investigate these opportunities. There's nothing I feel more passionate about than working with the youth, because again, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, we're expecting them to take care of us and make good decisions.
Absolutely. And I think one of the problems that we see over and over today is that parents and kids aren't connected as much as they should be. And kids don't feel like parents are involved, unfortunately.
And the perception is reality. No matter how much my parents talk to me or talk at me, unless I feel as though there's a connection as a young adult, as a teenager, the 7 to 12 year old group, how do I approach my child? How do I engage my child in conversation that's meaningful? And it doesn't mean that every conversation has to be very intense. Mentioning an article or mentioning some of the things that are in the news about how do you feel about that, and asking your child. At first, they're not going to respond. Most likely, they're not going to respond. But being able to have a dialogue around real issues will, A, build the child's confidence in having those conversations, and, B, give the parent a better sense of where their child is coming from. The genuine lack of awareness on the parents' part, is their responsibility, not the kids. So knowing that being able to put the phones down at dinner. Nobody can have a phone, mom and dad included. No electronics on. I'm having dinner together, simply having dinner together. My mother, actually, oddly enough, has a doctorate in education, and she would not let us do anything other than have conversation at dinner. And when I, as a child, I hated that. Really, Mom? I'd rather just watch TV. But now I appreciate the fact that it has built a confidence in me and all of my siblings. So as parents are looking at what made you who you are today, a successful adult, a well-balanced individual, think about how some of those lessons can apply in your life with your kids. The risk is so great that kids don't feel engaged or connected to you, that they find some other avenue to feel connected or engaged, and the risks to that are just too great.
Absolutely. I think parents have to be the leaders of their own family. So many times they're focused on being the leader within their career or their own industry, but they have to consider their first responsibility of being the leader within the family. Or the family is completely lost, and too many times that doesn't occur until it's too late.
That is so true, and when we find that if I've got the leadership skills in business, the good news is you already have those skills. How do I apply it in my family? And as I focus on my family and what am I giving to them? What am I holding back from them? And I've so many times I've found people who want to be friends with their children. I would absolutely submit to anyone listening that in this day and age, they have enough friends. They need guidance, they need parenting, and they need boundaries. And from that perspective, you can and will impact your child's life, even if it's a conversation that isn't entirely comfortable. Remember, discomfort is where learning happens, and being able to have a rational, calm conversation about, as my child, as a member of this family, how are we going to move forward with this issue or with this guideline or with this really difficult conversation, as well as how are we going to have fun? How are we going to remind each other that we are important to each other? So again, I will encourage every leader, if you consider yourself a good leader in business, success is just yours for the taking in your family because you already have the skills. How do you apply it in your family life?